John chapter 8, verse 12, as you're turning there, let me set this up this morning. We've been talking about our series called Rise at the front of the year. End of last year, we did a name change to the church. We went from River Church to Rise Church. And we did that for purpose, and we did it with blessing of our forefathers as well. But we've been talking over the last few weeks about the vision of Rise and what it means for us as a church to rise. We talked about in week one that we would be a relational church. How many of you know relationships are important? Amen? Second week, we talked about that we would be an intentional people. How many of you know you don't get anywhere on accident? If you're going to go anywhere, you got to go on purpose. And that we would be a people of purpose, that we would be intentional about knowing God, about growing in Him, and about going in His name into our communities. Amen? Third one, we talked about that we would be a church that understands that we're here to serve. Serve one another and serve our community. Amen? This week, I want to give you the E in our pillars this morning. And as many of you have already scoped out that it's out there, even in the hallway, it's evangelism. Evangelism. And now, listen, I want to approach this from a little bit of a different angle today. Is this okay? How many of you know I don't like coming at things necessarily always direct? But I want to come at this from just a little bit different point of view today about what it means. But in order for us to understand our role in evangelism, we have to lay the foundation. Okay, first and foremost, let me start with this statement, and then I'll jump into the message. Evangelism is not just handing out tracts or leading people down Romans Road in prayers for salvation. I'm not against those things. But I'm not interested in drive-by evangelism. You okay? What I'm concerned with is that my definition of evangelism goes like this: living our lives as an invitation to others to come and see the goodness of God. Can I say that again? Evangelism is living our lives as an invitation to others to come and see the goodness of God. Your life should speak evangelistic with every movement, with every motion, and with every interaction. People should see something. They should see something different in us. They should see a light in us that calls them to come and see the goodness of God. Amen? And my question today is, are we living our lives as an invitation to His goodness? See, I want Rise Church to be known as a place where people can come. And whenever they meet us in our community, whenever they see us, or whenever they interact with us in the community, that we are living our lives as an open invitation to come and see God is good. Amen? You guys okay this morning? Let's talk about light a little bit this morning. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this: Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, light is an incredible thing. How many of you are grateful for light? Right? It travels at a speed of 186,282 miles per second. Y'all, that's fast. Our source of light, the sun, is 93 million miles away from Earth. And traveling at this speed, the sunlight takes just over 8 minutes to arrive to Earth. And without it, there would be no life here. But if you know, if our sun extinguished today, we're done. Right? This is interesting because Jesus makes a really powerful claim. It's a real breakthrough claim. And Jesus says that He is the light of the world. Amen? Jesus, the Son of God, is the light source for the souls of mankind. And without Him, there can be no life in man at all. And that is a fact that, and as His love and the light of His love reaches our hearts immediately as we believe on Him, something when we say yes to Jesus calls an illumination to happen in our life. All of a sudden, it's like somebody turns the lights on. How many of you remember a day where you were walking in darkness, but then the light of the goodness of God shone upon your life, and all of a sudden you could see things a little bit more clearly? Amen? Jesus coming fulfilled an ancient prophecy that we see in Matthew. It's repeated in Matthew 4:16. It will be also seen in Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Since the fall of man, prophetic words pointed towards to the coming of a long-awaited Savior. And in our text verse that we just read, Jesus confirmed his own words that he was this light. And in John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, I'm just laying a foundation here quickly. It says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Stop right there. Go back to that verse real quick. I love that it says that. The light shines upon men, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness didn't understand it. The darkness didn't know what to do with it. Isn't that awesome? There's something about darkness it just cannot comprehend. It can't handle the light. That's why we see so many in this world recoiling because they don't understand the goodness of God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that is all through him, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. You notice what it says there? He wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness to it. Guys, that's very much our mission today. We're not the light, but we're the ones that God left here to bear witness to it. Amen? That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Not only was this fulfilled in New Testament times, it also remains true for all time. We all remain dwellers in darkness until we are introduced to the light called Jesus. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about the dilemma of darkness. Let's put a little bit here. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Right? The dilemma of darkness in everyday life is simply this. How many of you know in the dark you can't see? Anybody try to stumble through the dark? Right? I'm telling you, you walk through your house at night, no matter how well you know it. When my kids were little, that's when I was going to find the Lego. It was always going to be in the darkness. And you walked fearfully, and you walked with trepidation, and you walked so carefully because you didn't know what was going to happen. Right? You ever have that moment where your baby toe catches the edge of the chair? And all you can think is, Lord, take me now. This is it. This is the end. Don't turn the light on because I know my toe's over there. Isn't that the worst thing in the world to happen? Sorry, I got a little bit off track there. That just hit me. But darkness is the absence of light. In our hearts, it has the same effect. We can't see. In spiritual terms, darkness signifies sin. It signifies evil. Thus, sin and evil brings darkness to the heart and to the soul of man. And it's interesting to note how this is embraced and used even in the secular world, even if you notice in entertainment and in arts and in our movies. How many of you know a scary movie loses its effect if it happens in broad daylight? Right? How many of you ever watch it? How many of you refuse to watch a scary movie at night? Robbie's hands way high, right? The scary stuff always happens in the dark of night, right? Isn't that what we're taught? Sinister and evil things like the vampires and the werewolves, they all come out at night. And darkness is associated with fear and threat. Obviously, there are no vampires and werewolves. I'm just saying, this is what Hollywood puts out there. They use the darkness to add to the effect of fear. Amen? That's why when a child who wakes up from a scary dream asks for the light to be left on. That's why, nobody raise your hand, but when you're home alone and you hear that noise, that doesn't make sense. Every light in the house goes on. Why? Because the light brings comfort. The light brings illumination. Amen? You guys okay? Even a little light makes a huge difference in the darkness. See, in the dark, you stumble along with a good chance of hurting yourself. Lego, corner of the table. And the result is confusion and a loss of your sense of direction. How many of you have ever gotten lost in the dark before? It's scary, isn't it? You know, I've told the story before, and it just kind of just quickly bears repeating. I've been out fishing off at night, off in the ocean, And when you're in the middle of the ocean and you can't see shore, it's dark and it is frightening because there is no direction. That's why the lighthouse is so important, because the lighthouse shows you the way home. It makes sure you don't run aground. It gives you a sense, a point of direction. It gives you a way to go. It says, this is the way. You guys getting the picture I'm starting to paint here? That it's the light in the darkness that says, this is the way. This is the place of your hope. This is the place of safety. This is the place where all is well. You guys okay this morning? All of this is true in the spiritual realm, where darkness of sin and evil reigns. And into this mess, God sent the light, Jesus Christ. Aren't you grateful for that? Amen? See, what joy that his light brings to our life. It drives out the darkness, and it gives sight to the soul. It gives our mind and our will and our emotions the ability to see clearly and to be anchored to something. Amen? And when Jesus is welcome into our hearts, our eyes are open and we begin to see things that we could never see before. And most notably, we begin to see and understand that God is good and he is beautiful and he wants to do good things for us. Amen? See, the darkness tries to distort our view of who God is. They try to say he's evil and he's angry and he's judgmental and he wants to bring harm to you. But when all of a sudden, with just a little illumination, we begin to see those things are not true about him at all. He's kind. He's good. He loves us. He's patient. His mercies are new every morning. Amen? When the light shows up, sin and fear are banished. And the epic battle between light and darkness was settled once and for all, forever, on the cross with Christ. Amen? And as he breathed his last breath, darkness literally fell and lost its power. The devil and his cohorts, it seemed in that moment that they had put the light out. In fact, it only went underground for a little bit. It never went out. You know, it's like the light of a train that shines brightly on its journey in the night and then suddenly seems to go out as it enters a tunnel. But it was only for a brief few seconds. It was only for a brief moment before it shines forward on the other side of the darkness. Amen? See, Jesus broke through the darkness of death and the grave after three days to shine even brighter than before. So no darkness in our heart or in our soul can stand up against his light. A little light in darkness goes a long way. And the beautiful thing is that we no longer have to live in a place of being spiritually blacked out. Amen? You never have to walk in darkness or fear of darkness again. You can walk in continuous light. Even when the devil or the circumstances try to cast shadows over you, we don't have to do that. We can agree with David, who said in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He proclaimed this. He could proclaim this because the light of God's presence was shining in his heart. And Jesus made a promise that you will never walk in darkness on one condition: if you follow him. See, if you follow your own self, you're going to walk in places of darkness that I now define as confusion and misdirection. You're going to be lost. But if we'll follow him, we'll begin to see things clearly. He said, whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. And when we turn away from following Jesus, we land ourselves in a position of sin, and the darkness begins to threaten our lives. And we have to avoid sin because it'll dump you in darkness. Sin appeals to us through the fake light of pleasure and satisfaction, kind of like a neon sign. It's not real. How many of you know it's fake light? It's fake light. How many of you know these lights, as beautiful as they are, as pretty as weak colors we can make them, they're not real light. They're artificial compared to the sun. Amen? Isn't it interesting that human bodies even need sunlight to be healthy? Is that incredible? See, what sin does is it lures you in, it sets you up, and then robs you blind. And it only is pleasing for a few passing moments. It's like a cheap ride at a theme park. You know, you pay a lot of money to get on, and it's all over. And you're left with nothing, right? That's what sin does. It leaves you empty inside. What's even worse is that it infects you with darkness, and it begins to try to squeeze the light of his joy out of our souls. And we don't want to fall for that ploy. Amen? We have to ask, what we need to know is, are we following Jesus? Or did we start out with him and maybe take a detour to follow something else or someone else? Is darkness become our companion? Or are we living in the light? We have to follow Jesus. We have to keep following Jesus this morning. And if you commit to him with all of your heart, you will never, ever have to live in the darkness again. His light will shine in you. And he'll bring everything to the light and heal us. Amen? And this comes to the point that I want to make today. That if we've been saved, and if we're following Jesus, then the light now lives on the inside of us. Amen? We need to understand that we have a responsibility to shine. We need to understand the significance of God putting his light in us and calling us to shine. As a believer, the light is in you. Now let that light just absolutely shine through you and explode through you in such a way that it shows in your love and in your words and in your deeds toward people. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says this: you are the light of the world. Hold up. You. Say me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is a direct commandment. This is a direct commandment that if you are walking in the saving grace of Jesus, part of your mission, part of your mandate in life is to shine. And it goes back to my definition at the very beginning. Are you living your life in such a way that it's an invitation for people to come and see the goodness of God? Because that's what that is. Your life is a city set on a hill. It's the lighthouse on the shore. There's so many people walking in darkness. They're looking for direction. They're looking for the way. And your life is to be a light that says, this is the way. This is the way home. Every person who's watched The Mandalorian just like jumped in with me just right then, didn't you? If you haven't watched it, that's what they say through The Mandalorian the whole time. This is the way. That always sticks out to me, though, because I think we need to be living our life in such a way that we're looking at people going, this is the way. This is the way. This is how we live. This is how we move. This is how we treat other people. Come on, look at me. This is how we treat people. This is how we love people. This is how we honor people. This is the way out of darkness. And in every area of your life should be saying, Jesus is the way. Jesus comes to live in the heart of every believer to be a personal source of light to guide us. But he also comes to make us a light in this world. So we can't hide. You can't hide. Amen? We have to shine because there's a lot of people who are still waiting in darkness. There's a lot of people who are still waiting in positions of confusion. There's a lot of people who are looking everywhere for the answer, but they're so blinded in the darkness they can't find their way. And as we move through our life, and as you move through your day, and as you move through your communities, you have to remember that you are the light. You have an assignment to shine in the dark places where you work, or where you go to school, or where you go to market. You have a responsibility in your neighborhood to shine. In fact, can I say this to you? Don't be afraid of the dark places where you're sent to bring light. Light overcomes darkness every time. See, some of us understand we're filled with light, but we're still living in fear. Hear me. Well, I can't be there. You can go anywhere you need to go in Jesus' name. Amen? Because when the light shines, it illuminates the whole place. Guys, are you good this morning? Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close in just a few minutes here. You have an assignment. Don't be afraid this morning. Carry his light faithfully wherever you go. Because a little light makes all the difference in the places of darkness. The greater the darkness, the greater the effect of light. Amen? The greater the darkness, the greater the effect of light. Can I just encourage you this morning? See, we're living in a society today that's trying to tell you, if you believe in Jesus, sit down, shut up, and don't say a word. We're living in a society today that's trying to overwhelm the light with darkness. But I'm here to tell you, we have a biblical responsibility. Hear me. Not to hide. Not to hide in Jesus' name. Amen? See, they're trying to tell us be quiet. Right? And then they even go on to say, well, how dare you force your beliefs upon me? Guys, listen. We were not called to debate. We were called to shine. Nobody can argue with your shining. Nobody can argue with your goodness. Nobody can argue with your kindness. You know, what does the Bible even say? It talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And what does it say at the end there? Against such things, there is no law. You know what that means? It means that if we operate in those things, if we operate in goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness, there's not a single argument they can bring against those things. And it's in those moments where people feel the goodness of God through an invitation of your life that we're going to be able to have that moment. And when they ask, what's so different? And we can say to them, Jesus. This is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And you have an appointment with the Father. And he wants to take you there. Isn't that awesome? And people need to see the message. They need to see the message in our life. Not just hear it, they need to see it. Guys, you know why I harp on you every time it's Sunday and I know you're going out to lunch? Not to be rude to the waitresses. Not because I'm worried about your image, I'm worried about his. Because you're the light. Amen? Why are we so concerned about us growing in our faith? Because it's very simple. We want more people to see the light. Is this okay? And listen, I know there are moments where we have to speak and where we have to ask somebody if they know Jesus. There's going to be moments, but I really believe that God really wanted us to evangelize relationally, to be a part of people's life. To consistently shine in the lives of people. To show them the goodness of God. Let me tell you something. Is there anybody in here today you're believing for somebody to be saved? Is there anybody? Just wave at me. Amen. Can I give you some advice? Just shine. Just keep shining. Just keep being good. Keep being kind. Don't run away from the tough questions. Don't compromise on our beliefs. But let love be your guide. Amen? Let that be your direction. Allow Jesus to shine through you in such a way that hope springs to life in everybody around you. People will ask the questions if you'll just do that. Amen? Church, I want us to be known as a church that shines in Jesus' name. You know, what does it say? Like a city set on a hill. Well, Rise Church, set on a hill, caused to shine in the name of Jesus, so that anybody who is lost in the darkness can know this is the way home. Amen? Now, church, I want to say something that is not on my notes. This is just from pastor's heart to you. If you're sitting there going, this is wonderful, and I'm so grateful that we have a pastoral staff that's what they'll do. But I want to tell you right now, that is not our job. That is not just our job. Us and the staff, we're going to shine and we're going to encourage and we're going to lead people to the Lord and we're going to pray prayers of salvation like we're going to do in just a few moments. We're going to do our best. But I'm going to tell you, if we're really going to shine, you're going to have to take responsibility for your world. This is my challenge to you as your pastor and as someone who loves you. In Jesus' name, shine. Shine. Hear me. Do what God has told you to do. Love the people that He's put in your life. Be a blessing in our community. Take care of those that God puts in your path. Quit waiting for somebody else to do it. Shine. Amen? Be kind. Maybe go out of your way and be inconvenienced once in a while to allow Jesus to use you. But above all, love people the way God loves them. Amen? That means you're going to have to forgive some people. That means you're going to have to let go of some things you feel like you're owed. I'm going to tell you right now, if everybody got what we deserved, we'd all be in trouble. But we don't become a church that shines by just a handful of people doing it. We have to agree together, amen, that we're going to rise. We're going to be relational. We're going to be intentional. We're going to serve each other in our communities, and we're going to evangelize, which means we're going to live our lives as an open invitation for people to see the goodness of God. Amen? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? I'm not saying we've got it all perfect. I'm saying that this is where we are going in Jesus' name. Amen? How many of you agree with that vision? Can you just say amen? Amen. Let me ask you a couple questions here before I close. Are you facing darkness? Be assured that even though you may not see it, the light is moving through the darkness of your circumstances even now. The light's going to shine again. Keep your faith in Jesus, who is the light of the world, and welcome it. Wait for Him. Expect Him. He's going to show up. Amen? And we're going to agree today that the light's going to break through for us in the areas of darkness in our lives. And the question is do you have a light filled with the life and the light of God? Or are you sitting in darkness? And the beautiful thing is if you're sitting in darkness, which means any area of your life that's in a place of confusion and misunderstanding, where you don't know the way, I have good news for you. Jesus is here. He's always been here. And He's waiting. Amen? He's waiting for just the opportunity to illuminate your life. To shine in the places of darkness. We just have to step into the light and live. Amen? Everybody, if you would, just don't stand. Just bow your head for me real quick. Just take a few moments. We're well ahead of time today, so let's just take a moment. I'm going to do a couple things here real quick. Is there anybody in here today that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's some areas of your life that need illumination, that they're sitting in darkness and you're confused and you don't know the way and you don't know what to do and you're just begging for help and you're saying, I could use some light on this situation. You need Jesus is what you need. Is there anybody who just wave at me real quick? Amen. 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 Praise God. Guys, that was not necessarily, that wasn't always a call for salvation. That was a call for if you just need help. Anybody else? Amen. Can I pray for you real quick, and then I'm going to do a couple more things here. Father, in Jesus' name, your kids who need the light, shine. Illuminate the path for them. Show them the way. May your goodness be a beacon, a lantern in their life. Father, better yet, I say set a bonfire. Set it ablaze to light up the night sky in Jesus' name so that people from miles around can see the light and be drawn to it. Amen? Amen. Real quick, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't mind, is there anybody in here today that maybe you've been walking in darkness and you realize I've been walking in darkness too long. And that today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, but maybe you have and you've perhaps taken a detour along the way. And you know it's time to get back on the path home. Is there anybody in here today that you would say, Pastor, would you just pray for me? Listen, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not calling anybody down. I'm not doing anything like that. But if you just say, Pastor James, would you just pray for me today? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 Yes. Praise God. Anybody else? Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Guys, can we put that prayer up? Let's all pray this together for those people that raised their hand this morning. Can we all just pray this together? Pray it with me. Say, thank you, God, for loving me before I even loved you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that I can get connected to you now because you are alive today. I admit that I have lived my life without you and have messed up. I ask for your total forgiveness, and I commit myself to you. Help me to submit my life to your teaching and direction from now on. I receive you into my life and ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Can we give the